This is our day to shine. And we want to do that for God's sake, particularly with the people that we come in contact with. So here's the question today. What do I see? What do you see when we look at people? As you might know, a lot of work is being done with glasses that contain artificial intelligence. So Meta now has a new pair of glasses. They're much clunkier than the old ones were. What if you were able to put on a pair of glasses and all the apps that you have, all the information that's available to you would all of a sudden just be right there in front of you? Wait a minute. What if it had facial recognition software so that when you see people, you never again have to worry about forgetting a name? It would just immediately tell you this. Wait a minute. What if not only did it do that, when it saw that person, it would know their story, their hopes, their joys, their longings, even who God created them to be? What if these glasses from Meta, I were to tell you, were making available to anybody at Become New who just sends in and asks for a pair? Well, if I said that, I'd be a big fat liar. But I want to tell you about a much better pair of glasses, a much better way of seeing. So again, I want to invite you to reflect on this question as I walk through my life today, even in these moments, as I think about people in my life. What do I see? And what does God see? And how do I move towards that? What prompted these thoughts for me is this single verse in Philippians chapter 4. Paul is headed into the home stretch, and very often in his letter, he writes about quite personal events and circumstances and real people, and he's going to do that somewhat here. But here's how he starts. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. And those are words that it's very easy to just rush past and, yep, get on and give us some information or some doctrine or some instruction here. But I thought I want to spend one day just here with these words and reflect on what remarkable language this was for Paul. And what was it that Paul experienced? Sometimes folks who are Bible people can think about Paul as kind of cold or quite cognitive or so. These are remarkable words when I think about people. I wish that I could see what Paul saw when I would look at people that I work with or people in a church where I am. So a moment to walk through these. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, when Paul would think about the folks at Philippi, they were like family to him. Now, this is extraordinary. If you had said to Paul years earlier in his life that he would look at uncircumcised Gentiles and call them his family, it would have been unthinkable. But this came about because Jesus started this movement where anybody in the world, culture, gender, ethnicity, anybody he would view as part of his family, as a child of God. There's that ride in Disneyland. It's a small world after all. People from every kind of culture all together, all kind of one. Song drive you crazy eventually if you listen to it long enough. But not only was there never an actionable plan for all of humanity as a community, as a family, the idea did not exist until Jesus. It was his idea. And now Paul experiences that. You whom I love, my beloved, it's sometimes translated as, that's language of a groom and a bride. You who I long for. Now, a Stoic would not say this. Longing for somebody means I'm vulnerable. Longing for somebody means that it's possible for me to be hurt if there's a problem here. Paul uses that language. He is vulnerable when it comes to the Philippians. My joy. He doesn't just say, you bring me joy. He says they are his joy. It makes me think about a moment many years ago when we were in college. My friend Kevin and I were having lunch with Malia, who was just entering into her relationship with Chuck, and they were going off, I think, to the hockey banquet or something. And Kevin started teasing Malia, and she could not stop smiling. And she glowed. Blushing is another word for it. Chuck was her joy and has been for 46 years. Well, they've been married 46 years. I don't know. There have probably been a few days in the timeout chair. But when Paul thinks about the people at Philippi, just face by face by face. You're my joy, you're my joy, you're my joy. And then my crown. Now, the word for crown that Paul uses here is a beautiful word, Stephanos. And it was in particular a crown, but in particular the laurel wreath or crown that a great athlete would win when they had won a challenging competition. And they would wear that crown. This is the summit of what they were able to do. I used to live in the Bay Area in a community where a man named Steph, who won 4 crowns, moved into the neighborhood right when I had to leave. I'm not bitter about it, but we would have been good friends, probably played horse together and stuff. Anyway, for Paul, his crown is not an achievement. It's not a resume. It's not some success that other people would look at. It's this group of people. I think about that as a pastor. Is that my crown? Stand firm in this way. And then he comes back to beloved again. Dear friends, my beloved. So his ability to look at people and see and think thoughts and experience a heart full of affection and longing for them. And so that's something I want to have. How do I move towards that? What's the secret to that? How do we do that? Well, take you to another passage. This is from Jesus, where he talks about this. And it's quite an extraordinary teaching. It's a passage that when I initially read it for a long time, wasn't quite sure what to do with it. Jesus says, this is in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of life. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He's getting after a profound truth, and this is a remarkable insight from Jesus. In this last century, there's a philosopher who became a novelist, Iris Murdoch, and she talks about how perception, what do I view, what do I see when I look at something, is actually a moral act. And she talks about how often in philosophy people will think about morality just in terms of following certain rules, or what do you do when you have a certain dilemma. An old one in philosophy is the trolley dilemma. What if there's a trolley and 5 people are going to die if you do nothing? You can divert it, but if you divert it, you'll kill a guy. And so which do you do? And that's thought of as an ethical problem. Now, unless you live in San Francisco, you're probably not likely to run into many trolleys today. But beyond that, mostly the issue of our moral or spiritual life does not consist of isolated incidences when I got to think what's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. It's not usually about following rules. It flows out of what happens when I perceive something. This is part of what Iris Murdoch writes. Moral change comes from an attention to the world whose natural result is a decrease in egoism to an increased sense of the reality of other people. She uses an example of a mother-in-law whose son gets married to a girl, and she considers this girl kind of flighty and superficial and a little bit juvenile. She's nice and polite because she's a good person, but that's what she sees when she views her daughter-in-law. And then one day she thinks, maybe I have not been fair to her. Maybe I have not seen the real person because she's not real educated, or habits of language, or the way that she dresses. And so this mother-in-law says, I must look more deeply. I must pay more serious attention. I must diligently seek to see the person who is there, and not just the person that I, not looking through the lens of my own egoism and background and prejudices and biases. And she begins, when she's with this person, to look at her more deeply, and she sees more, and she thinks differently, and she feels differently. Now, that's what Iris Murdoch is talking about. For the most part, you and I live our moral and spiritual life flow out of, what do we see? And Jesus is exactly right. The eye is the lamp of the body. When it's healthy, the body is full of life. Example of this from the Bible. Three people go walking by a man that was beat up by some robbers. And two of them, a priest and a Levite, are folks that we would expect to be full of light. We would think that they are moral and spiritual leaders. But what they see when the guy is lying there is a problem or trouble or an interruption or somebody that would defile them on the way to the temple if they were to stop and touch him. And then of all people, a Samaritan, they were despised folks, looks, but he sees something different. He sees a human being. He sees suffering. And so he thinks different thoughts and he feels different feelings. He felt pity, Jesus says, and he engages in different actions. So today, the invitation is, put on a new pair of glasses, not artificial intelligence, but divine intelligence. Ask Jesus for those kind of eyes that are healthy, that will fill my body with light. So when I look at people, I see what God sees when he looks at people. Think about somebody right now in your life where maybe you've not been fair to them. For whatever reason, maybe they don't like you. Maybe you've had conflict. Maybe there's something about the way that they think or the way that they dress or their culture or their politics or their religion or whatever. And just ask God, God, would you give me a new set of lenses through which to look at this person? And that's the opportunity that we have today to shine for me and for you, my brother, my sister, my beloved, for whom I long, my joy, my crown, shine.
Hey, I'm Tim. Thanks for joining us here at Become New. We hope that these videos are helping you to grow spiritually in Christ one day at a time. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future weekday episodes from John. Or if you want to access the full library of John's teaching, you can go to becomenew.com. I think we have almost 1,000 episodes there. All about life, faith, spirituality, theology, philosophy. I mean, we cover so many things, so you might be interested in checking that out. We hope that these videos aren't just going in one ear and out the other, but really take root in your heart. And I loved what John was talking about today, because we want to be listening to these teachings with our spiritual ears, just like we want to be seeing people with spiritual eyes, which is what John talked about. And I'm curious what your insight was, what your takeaway was, what the Holy Spirit was speaking to you through the episode today. You can put it in the comments or let us know through email or text. Our contact info is in the show notes. But for me, I was just reminded that the culture we live in, if you're scrolling on YouTube or social media, it's not really training us to look at people the way that John was talking to us today about looking at people. And I just want to be aware of that in my life, that I don't want to just walk through life glazed over, looking at people, putting people in boxes, and not really seeking to know, to understand, to look more deeply. And one thing that I'll pray regularly, and if this prayer is helpful for you, you can use it too, is just, God, open my spiritual eyes today to see how you see. Open my ears, my spiritual ears, to hear the things around me and the people around me the way that you hear them, and soften my heart to know your presence today. It just made me think about that song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." Maybe you remember that old tune. It's kind of like that. So, would love to hear from you. Also, we're here to pray for you if you need prayer, and I really mean that. You can text us or email us. Contact is in the show notes. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.